All right, we are holding on Tess Umar Bays at the bottom by the beginning of the new Perek. Okay, so we've learned about collecting the Machzor Shekel, and we've learned about how they took the baskets of coins out of the chamber, out of the Lishka, and how they filled up boxes with them. Now we're going to talk about, in this Perek, what they actually did with that money. So the Mishnah says, "Hatruma maha yu oisinba." What did they do with the truma, the actual truma salishka? Loichinba tmidun musafin v'niskehem. They would use it to buy the korbanos tamid and the korbanos musaf and all the nesachim that go along with them. Also, ha'omer v'shtei alechem. Also, the omer and the shtei alechem, the lachem aponim and the lachem aponim. All of those are bought from truma salishka because all of those are korbanos tzibur, and the whole point is the korbanos tzibur are being brought from the machzor shekel. V'chol korbanos tzibur and all the other korbanos tzibur, which the korban eder brings from brings that means includes the ketores. The ketores is also bought from the truma salishka. Next, another thing. Shemri Sfichin Bashvius. People who guard Sfichim, which is after growth, doing Shemitah. Now, we know that doing Shemitah, of course, you can't plant, but the fact is, during that year, they still need to be able to bring a korban omer and a shtei alechem. So they can't plant wheat or barley for that purpose. What they need to do is they need to rely on that there are Sfichim, that there is like this with plants like that, with grain and other plants like that. Always you have ones where some seeds landed in the ground last year during the harvest or whatever, and then they sprout the seed on their own. Those are called svichim. So now, midoraisa, you're completely allowed to eat them. Midrabanan, there are rules about it. We'll discuss that a little bit in the Gemara. Anyway, the point is that they have to rely on those svichim, otherwise they don't have anything for the omer and the shtei lechem. So they'd hire people to guard these svichim and tell people that, and tell people stay away from it. This is reserved for the omer. This is reserved for the shtei alechem. There are actually rishonim who learn that if you guard grain or vegetables, then they become usur to eat. And there are actually, we're going to see in the Gemara, the possibility that maybe even in that particular year of Shemitah, the Omer and the Shtei Lachem would therefore be also to eat. You still have to be makir of them, but a different understanding of it is that the Shemitah over here is not mostly somewhat guarding them, like physically preventing people from taking them, but rather more like moral suasion, telling them, you know, I know you'd really like this because it's doing Shemitah and there's a shortage of grain, but you should be aware that we need this for the Omer and we need this for the Shtei Lechem, and that'll make people stay away. So that wouldn't be the kind of Shemitah that's awesome. Anyway, so these people, Shemris Tzvichin Beshvias, Neutlin Tzchorin Metrumas Alishka, they also get paid out of the Trumas Alishka. Because again, that's something that's needed for the korbanos, and therefore that would be something they'd do out of the truma salishka. Rabbi Yossi says they don't have to pay them out of the truma salishka. It's recording. Rabbi Yossi says no, actually you don't need that. If a person voluntarily wants to watch that grain himself to tell people this is needed for the omer, this is needed for the shtei lechem, and not get paid, then he could do that. So not necessarily do we need truma salishka for it. Omru loy, so the chachamim answered him, af at omer, you also agree after all, she'enen boin ela mishol tzibur, that the omer and the shtei lechem have to come from things that belong to the tzibur. Now, the problem is, if you're going to have an individual is going to watch it on his own and not get paid from the truma salishka, then in a certain sense, that grain might belong to him. And if it belongs to him, then how can we use it for the korbanos tzibur? You always have a problem when an individual person brings something for a korban, you have to have yimsirenu l'tzibur yofa yofa, that he gives it over very, very well. In other words, 100% with no swings attached to the tzibur. Can we necessarily rely on that? There is actually, in fact, there is a Gemara in the Bavli at the very end of Bava Metzia that discusses our Mishnah. And discuss it, the Gemara discusses over there a question. If you see an object of Hefker and you want it, and you decide you want to be koinet, is looking at it enough to be koinet? Because on the face of it, that's what this shomer is doing over here. You have to ask if the Chachamim are saying, in effect, that this wheat or this barley might be considered to belong to the shomer, and therefore that there'd be a problem with it as being used for the korban sibur. That implies that he was koine it somehow. But how is he koine it if he didn't pick it up? He didn't do akbar. He didn't do meshicha. He didn't do any of the other methods of kinyan. So the Gemara discusses the possibility over there. Would we say that maybe the fact that he looked at it and it being hefker is enough for him to be koineh? And then the Gemara there says that no, that actually the Gemara gives a couple of reasons, a couple of other reasons why Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim are disagreeing. One of them is that one of them the Rivi Von brings over here is that we're concerned about tough guys, about strong people who might force their way and take it, and therefore the Tanakama holds that we have to pay this watchman not so much so that the grain won't be his, but so that this way, once people know that he's being paid by Hekdesh, then they're more likely to stay away. Even the Balei Zroyas respect Hekdesh. We had this concept in Psachim, for example. We had an example over there where we had people who were makdish trees, and then there were Balei Zroyas. There were these tough guys who wanted to use branches from the trees, and then once they were makdish them, then they stayed away. People in general respect Hekdesh, and they're not going to tamper with it. So the Chachamim would say you need to do that, and Rabbi Yossi is not concerned about that. So the Gemara is mostly going to be so the first part of the Gemara then is going to be discussing this last point about Rabbi Yossi versus the Chachamim, about this idea of whether an individual person can bring something for Korban Sibur. We're saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, yes, according to Rabbi Yossi, the person who's watching the grain can do it for free. He is koinet. For example, again, according to that Gemara and Bav Metzia, one possibility is he's koinet b'habata by looking at it. Or if we say he's not koinet b'habata because that doesn't work, then we say that the Chachamim would say that. Just like over there, we need to pay him the same way in other ways. We always need to make sure that the korban sibur is something that's actually brought from funds of the sibur rather than from private people. And Rabbi Yossi would disagree. So now the Gemara is going to talk about that point about korbanos yachid versus korbanos yachid that are given over to the sibur in other places. So the Gemara starts off. So by background, we have the concept of korban eitzim. We have the Mishnah tells us in Tainus that there were 9 different days a year when they would bring a korban of wood to the Beis Hamikdash. What it is, it started at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash when they came to build the second Beis Hamikdash and set up all the avodah of it. They had a shortage of a lot of things. One of the things is there was a shortage of wood. So different families at that time volunteered to provide wood for the Beis Hamikdash. So then the Chachamim at that time made a takana, the Chachamim and the Nevi'im, as we're going to say soon, made a takana that from then on, those families every year get to celebrate those days and get to bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash on those days. Now that's an example of a yochid giving for the tzibur. Now you could argue, okay, in that first year, It was a necessity. There was no other choice. You had to have Yechidim give because otherwise there's no wood and therefore there's no korbanos tzibur at all. But we're going to discuss in the Gemara, what about, are they doing that in future years as well? So the Gemara says, Ma roz man atze koinim va'am lehimanis. Why are we enumerating, why are we listing the times of zman atze koinim va'am, the times when the koinim and the various other members of the Jewish people would be bringing the wood to the Beis Hamikdash? So the Mishnah there in Tainus mentions that every day in the Beis Hamikdash, every day you had ma'amodos. You had the groups of, we know there were groups of koyanim that served on a rotating basis in the Beis Hamikdash, the mishmaros. You also had mishmaros of levim, same idea. And then among the Yisraelim, you had ma'amodos, where there were rotating groups of them also. Some of them would go, some of them would stand in the Beis Hamikdash and watch the korbanos being brought, and they would be the representatives of the whole Jewish people for that. Others of them would just gather in their shuls, and they would say certain tefillos and lay in certain things from the Torah, etc. even the ones who went to the Beis Mikdash also, after they were done watching the Talmud, they would go to their shuls in the Harabayis, so in the rest of Yerushalayim, and do the same thing. But the Mishnah mentions over there are different times when we don't have Ma'amadis because there's something else that preempts it. One of them is when there's Zman Atzeh Koinim Va'am, then that preempts one of the Ma'amadis of the day because they're busy with that. So what are these Zman Atzeh Koinim Va'am? Ella, so it is like this: when the Jewish people came up from Golos Babel, they couldn't find wood in the Lishka, in the chamber of the Beis Mikdash. But Omdu Nadvu Mishal Atzman, these families that are listed over there, arose and volunteered to give wood from the fly. They gave that wood over to the tzibur. The kovamahan kovanas tzibur. They used them to offer the kovanas tzibur. So then the histimoin neviim shebeneim. So now the neviim among them made a tnai shafilu lishka malaya etzim. That even in the future, even if the lishka, even if the chamber of the Beis Mikdash where they kept the wood, one of the four chambers on the corners of the Ezes Nashim over there, even if that chamber is full of wood, but omdu elavis nadvu nisnadvu etzim mishalatzman. If these families now go and are menad of wood on their own, that we only use their wood first to bring the korbanos. They have that privilege because their ancestors are the ones who brought that, who brought it that first time. So now here we have an example of yechidim bringing wood for a korban, bringing wood for to offer the korbanos. And even though now the wood for the korbanos is something that needs to come mishal tzibur, it's one of the things when we mentioned in the Mishnah, we said that the tmidim and musafim and so on and so forth come from the korbanos tzibur. It also includes all of the machshirim, all of the prerequisites that are needed to offer them. For example, the wood for the korbanos. For example, the salt that's needed to sprinkle on the korbanos. Other such things. So it comes out that here you have Yechidim giving to the Tzibur. So Omer of Acha did Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Acha says, now this Braisa must be according to Rabbi Yosi. Did Rabbi Yosi Omer Afarotzim Esnad of Shem Echinam? We say in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yosi says that an individual is able to volunteer to be a Shem Echinam of the grain, that's of the Sfichim that they're going to use later that year for the Omer and the Shtei Lechem. So he's not concerned about this matter of that you're going to have a korban that belonged to a yochid and then was given to the tzibur, because he holds that the person will definitely give it over fully to the tzibur. In the same vein, he's saying over here that when it comes to this korban etzim, the same idea, you have these families that are giving this korban etzim and there's not a problem with it. There's not a problem with it because they will give it over. They will give it over yofa. So that braisa must be going according to Rabbi Yosi. Now, what would the Chachamim do with it? The fact is, there is actually a pasuk in Nehemiah that mentions that we made a girdle about the korban etzim. The Chachamim might understand that that was a one-time thing, not necessarily that they made it as an annual thing. Or that the Chachamim might say, yes, these families had the right to celebrate those days, but on that day they celebrated, they didn't actually bring wood to the Beis Mikdash necessarily, or they could. I mean, they could bring wood, but the wood itself would be considered kind of a korban. What it was is, the main thing was that they would bring other korbanos. So the fact that we're saying that it's an annual thing, that each of these families on their day, and that we're saying that each one of them, that the wood they bring is actually used for burning the korbanos on the mizbeach, that, says Rav Acha, has to be according to Rabbi Yosi. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi or Asi, b'shem Rabbi Ila, Rabbi Yosi the Amora or Rabbi Asi, says in the name of Rabbi Ila, no, divrei hakol he, no, because no, that mish, that braisa about zman atzeh koinim va'am, about the korban ha'etzim every year, that could be according to everybody. Even the chachamim might agree with it. Because ma pligin begufa shel korban. Because we could say the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosi are arguing only about the actual korban itself, the actual omer, the actual shtei lechem. The Chachamim say you can't ever have that it was owned by a yoch, not ever, but ever since you can't have that before it's given to Hekdesh that it belonged to a yochid, and then the yochid donated it to Hekdesh, because then we're concerned that he might not donate it fully. He might still have some strings attached. He might want that he has a certain person. He might want to have that he has a certain individual share in this korban more than anybody else in order to have the mitzvah or whatever it is. So therefore, we can't allow that. So the Chum would say, as far as the korban itself, aval b'machshirei korban, when it comes to things that are prerequisites of the korban, like in this case, we're talking about the wood, which is not itself a korban. Kol ama moedi shu mashtana korban yachon, the korban sibur. Everybody might agree. Kol ama in the Yerushalmi is like kol. It's kind of funny. Kolay alma is the expression we always use in the Bavli. Literally, kolay alma means the whole world. Here instead, we have kol ama in the Yerushalmi, which means all the people. Anyway, we could say kol ama moedi, everybody agrees, shu mashtana korban yachad, the korban sibur, that when it comes to machshirei korban, when it comes to the wood, which is not itself the korban, it's not the talmid, it's not the mosef, etc. It's only something that in order to bros, possibly everybody would agree, even the chachamim of our Mishnah, that it could belong to a yachid who then gives it to the tzibur. So even according to the chachamim, you could have an annual korban eitzim, and the families are bringing wood to the Bais HaMikdash, and we're using it to burn the korbanos because the wood is not itself the korban; it's only the machshirei korban. Okay. So another similar thing, tanun and a brisa. If a woman who's the mother of a kohen makes a ksonis for her son, or she has to give it over to the tzibur or ksheira, then that ksonis is kosher. The kohen can wear it during the avoda, or volvad shetim sirena latzibur, as long as, again, she has to give over that ksonis completely to the tzibur. Because again, the goddim of the kohenim are considered something essential. There's something essential to the korban. If the kohen does the avoda without the bigdei kohuna, then his avoda is possible. So in the same vein, then we're saying that it's fine to give it. It's fine for a yochid to make the ksonis, but then we have to be careful that they give it completely over to the tzibur. See. We have the same. Amar Acha says that again, that brisa would have to be only according to Rabbi Yosi. The Rabbi Yosi Amafar writes Misnad of Shemachinam. Rabbi Yosi again says in our Mishnah that also a person can volunteer to be a Shemachinam for the grain for the Sfichim that grew. Again, the Chachamim might disagree. The same way as the Chachamim are saying that no, Hekdesh has to actually buy these Sfichim. In the case they have to actually pay the worker to, they have to pay the guy to stand there and watch it, and that way it belongs to Hekdesh to begin with. The same way they might say that a Ksonis cannot be made from private funds; it has to be made for funds of the tzibur to begin with. So a woman can't make a Ksonis on her own and then give it to her son to wear in the Bais HaMikdash. So Rav Acha says that it would be the same machlokes. But again, Rav Yosi or Asi b'shem Rav Ila divrei hakohi. Rav Yosi or Rav Asi again says in the name of Rav Ila that no, everybody would agree that a person can make a private ksonis and give it to the kohen, because again, ma pligin begufa shel korban, because the machlokes we could say is only about the actual korban itself, ava machshirei korban, but when it comes to the bigdei kohuna, which are only a prerequisite for a korban, kol ama moedi shu mishtana korban yachid, the korban sibur, then everybody might agree that a korban yachid can become a korban sibur. Okay, so according to Rav Acha, anytime we find a braisa that says something about a yochid giving something towards korban sibur, Rabbi Yosi would hold. Whereas Rabbi Yosi, the Amora, holds that even the chachamim wouldn't have a problem with that if it's machshirei korban. They would just have a problem if it's the korban itself. For example, the oimer or the shtelach.
So Amora says,
we don't hear you continuously. There's words that are skipped all the time. Hmm. So probably you need to speak more slowly, and I'm not sure exactly why.
It has to do with the amount, how strong his reception is.
Yeah, it probably has to do with that. Let me switch here. Let me see. Is this better now?
I don't know. There's a stream, and sometimes we miss the middle of the stream or.
Right, I understand, but now I just turned off my Wi-Fi, so now I'm using. So let me know if this is better now.
Okay, good.
So to recap, then we're saying that the Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah is saying that a yochid can watch the Sfichim and then give them over to the Tzibur when the time comes. He says that if a person is going to do that, we know he's going to give it over yofa. He's going to give it over fully, so we don't have to worry about that. Whereas Rabbi Acha So that was the Chachamim disagree. So in the Gemara, we're saying that Rabbi Acha is saying, therefore, that any time we find something that implies that any time where we find that Yechidim are giving something towards the Korbanos Tzibur, for example, the wood that's used to burn the Korbanos, or a Ksonis that a Kohen would wear, then we're saying that if we're saying that a Yochid can give it, only Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, would hold that. The Chachamim would disagree. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, the Amora, says that no, everybody would agree, because the Chachamim would distinguish between the korban itself and machshirei korban. They wouldn't allow the korban itself to be brought from something that belonged to a yochid, which then he gave to the tzibur, because we're concerned he might not give it over fully. But machshirim, such as the wood or the bigdei kohuna, they have no problem with. Okay. So the Gemara says, masnisin pliga al Rabbi Yossi. Now, our Mishnah seems to contradict Rabbi Yossi. Which Rabbi Yossi do we mean, the Tana or the Amora? So let's talk about, there are actually different girsois over here. The girsa that we have in front of us, Masnisin Pligal Rabbi Yossi, is a girsa according to the Vilna Gaon and others, but actually, the other way around. Actually, the girsa we have in front of us, Masnisin Pligal Rabbi Yossi, is the old girsa. The Hagos Agro actually changes it to Masnisin Pligal Rabbi Acha, that our Mishnah seems to contradict Rabbi Acha. So let's learn it, and then we'll discuss the possibilities. So a Braisa, Pligal Rabbi Yossi, a Braisa seems to contradict Rabbi Yossi, because a Braisa says, Oysen Ayomim Noigin B'Shas Korban V'Shaloi B'Shas Korban, that those days, which we say that the various families celebrate the days that their ancestors brought wood to the Beis Mikdash, those are still in effect whether the korban is being brought or whether not, meaning even after the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, those families continue to celebrate that day. Rabbi Yossi, says they only are in effect when the korban is being brought, meaning only during the time of the Beis Mikdash. So what does this have to do with the discussion before? So a number of the Mefarshim, for example, Rabbeinu Meshulam, have the girsa like we have in front of us in the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying it seems to contradict Rabbi Yossi, meaning Rabbi Yossi the Tana, meaning Rabbi Yossi the Amora. Rabbi Yossi the Amora is saying that the Chachamim would say that everybody would agree, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, that individuals can bring korban eitzim and other such things as long as they're not bringing the actual korban itself. The korban eitzim is only a side thing. But we see from this braisa that the Chachamim are saying that you celebrate the korban eitzim even when no actual korban is being brought, which means therefore, so according to the Chachamim, it would come out if they're not really actually bringing wood to the Beis Mikdash on those days. Because if they were, then there's no reason to celebrate it after the Korban. It must be that they're only commemorating the day when their ancestors brought wood to the Beis Mikdash hundreds of years ago. And in that case, then there's nothing in it about Yechidim bringing something towards a Korban Sibur or even towards the Machshirim of a Korban Sibur. And that would contradict Rabbi Yossi, the Amora's understanding that the Chachamim would allow such a thing. On the other hand, Hagoyis Agra changes it to the question is on Rabbi Acha. And the question is, because Rabbi Acha is saying that only the Chachamim, that Rabbi Acha is saying that only the Tana Rabbi Yossi would allow the Yechidim to bring wood. The Chachamim would disagree. Whereas we see over here that they're in future years they're celebrating the fact that they're bringing wood. And apparently the idea is they're doing that even the Braisa is saying they're doing it whether they're bringing wood or not. But the implication is that when the Beis Mikdash is standing, they actually did bring wood and it was used to burn the korbanos, and according to Rabbi Acha, only Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, would say that that's allowed. So then, according to Hagoyis Agra, he changes it to that the question is on Rabbi Acha. Va'oid min hoda d'tanya. Also, we have another point that it continues. Actually, it's the same braisa. It's the same braisa. Continues. Amar Rabbi Loza. It's a braisa in Megillas Titus. Amar Rabbi Loza b'Rab Tzadik. Onu ha'yunim ibnei Snah ben Minyamin. My family were descended from Snah, the son of Binyamin, which is one of those families that would bring the korban eitzim. And Bnei Snah ben Binyamin, the Mishnah lists over there the dates. Their date when they would bring wood to the Beis Mikdash and when they would make the celebration of korban eitzim is on the 10th of Av. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok lived after the korban, so he says V'chal Tisha B'Av Lias B'Shamas, 1 year Tisha B'Av came on Shabbos, so the fast was pushed off for Sunday. So therefore, the fast that year came out on Yud Av, which was Bnei Snah ben Minyamin's day to celebrate the Korban Eitzim. So that time we fasted the fast of Tisha B'Av, but we didn't complete it because it was their family Yom Tov. So again, we see, in other words, according to Rabbeinu Meshulam and the other early Mefarshim, the Gemara is saying, therefore, so we see that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik is saying we celebrate even after the Churban, even though there's no wood being brought to the Beis Hamikdash at that time, obviously showing, therefore, that the original celebration was never about actual bringing wood. It was just to commemorate what they did in previous years. And therefore, how is Rabbi Yossi saying that everybody would agree that you could, that Yechidim could bring wood, when we see on the face of it they're not actually doing that, according to the Gra, according to the Vilna Gaon, and according to Tikvan Chazitin? Rather, the question is on the question is on Rabbi Acha. That Rabbi Acha is saying the Chachamim would say that Yechidim can't bring wood to the Beis Hamikdash, but we see from this Braisa that they did, because we're saying that they had it as their family celebration, meaning, in other words, that they were celebrating during the years when the Beis Hamikdash stood, that they are actually bringing wood. Okay, so the bottom line is you have these different opinions on the subject, whether a yochid can bring a korban that is going to be a korban sibur and it's going to be accepted, or whether we have to have that to begin with, that the tzibur bought it from the yachid. So as far as the halacha, that Amman Paskins in the case of the sfichim, that yes, you have to have people watching them that are paid by the tzibur. You can't have like Rabbi Yossi says that an individual could do it. It has to be something that the tzibur bought or paid for with their money. When it comes to these other things, though, when it comes to the Eitzim, there is the Korban Eitzim. The families do bring the Korban Eitzim. That is the Takana. And when it comes to Aksonis, then yes, also an individual person can make Aksonis. We're not concerned. We're saying that he will give it over Yofa. He will give it over fully to the Tzibur. Again, so why by the Sfichim? Do we say differently? So that you have that Gemara in Bav Metzia that discusses other ideas behind other reasons than all Gemara is saying behind the machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, one of them being that we want the Yechidim to be paid in order that Balei Zroyas, that tough people, don't try to take that those Sfichim for themselves. Once they hear that Hektish is involved and Hektish is actually paying this person, then they're more likely to stay away.
The Sfichim, they were collected in anywhere, or they had special areas where they collected them?
No, so I mean, by definition, Sfichim just grow wherever they happen to grow, wherever seeds happen to fall the previous year. So like this, earlier on in the season, when during the winter, when barley is starting to grow and when wheat is starting to grow, Beis Din would go out and keep an eye out. Where is there a patch where Sfichim are, where enough Sfichim of barley or wheat, respectively, are growing? And then they would hire a shomer once it starts growing enough to be visible as grain, then they would hire a shomer to stand over there for the next couple of days or weeks or whatever it is and warn people off. And the main thing is he has to keep wild animals away from eating it. But also, if people came by and wanted it, he would tell them, you know, I'm sorry, but this is reserved for the Beis Hamikdash. So it's not necessarily one defined area. It's wherever they would find that Sfichim happened to be growing.
How long in advance did they look for these Sfichim?
I don't know. I guess they would probably start looking for that. I guess they would probably start looking for them earlier on in the season when things are starting to grow. And then during that, they might not necessarily hire a worker then, because at that point it's basically just grass. But later on, when it actually became noticeably standing grain, is presumably when they would hire the workers to keep people from taking it.
Would the Sfichim be kosher if they were irrigated?
Could be. I mean, in terms of the halachas of Shemitah, yes, you are allowed to a certain extent to irrigate a field that otherwise is going to dry out. However, there's a different issue, which is that we're not allowed to bring korbanos from, we have to bring korbanos always from the best quality, and grain from a field that was irrigated is not the best quality. So we need it from a field that was watered by rainwater. Okay, so now we're going to discuss in the Gemara the question, so don't we have another alternative? Why do we say that the Omer Dafka has to come from Sfichim that grew in Eretz Yisrael? Why don't we say, for example, that we could bring it from, that instead we could bring it from Syria or bring it from Chutz Laretz? So the Gemara says, Masnisa de Rabbi Shmuel, our Mishnah must be like Rabbi Shmuel. So we said, Ha'omer Shtei Lechem B'Lechem Aponim B'Chol Kabbonis Tzibur. So Masnisa de Rabbi Shmuel, our Mishnah must be like Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Shmuel, Lame'ena Omer Bomen Asuria. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Korban Omer cannot be brought even from Syria, let alone from Chutzlar. Syria are the areas we know that David HaMelech conquered, but he conquered them before he had finished conquering all of Eretz Yisrael proper. The Sanhedrin told him, Samoch L'Paltin Shalcha L'Kavashta, you haven't even conquered parts of Eretz Yisrael that are near your own palace in Yerushalayim. So therefore, these places became what's called Kibush Yochid. It's that it was conquered by an individual without the consent of Beis Din and without the consent of the Sanhedrin. And therefore, it's only considered sort of semi-Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Shmuel is telling us that the Omer cannot be brought from Syria, because if it was, then there wouldn't be a problem. You wouldn't need Sfichim. You could just bring grain from Syria, and that would be good enough for the Omer. The fact that not shows that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, so now let's explore that idea. Tamon Tanenon, we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos, Kol Korbanos HaYochid VaTzibur Boim Min HaOretz Min Chutz La'aretz, all Korbanos Yochid and all Korbanos Tzibur can be brought from Eretz Yisrael or Min Chutz La'aretz, or they can be brought from Chutz La'aretz. For example, you can buy animals from outside Eretz Yisrael and bring them as Korbanos. Min HaChadosh Min HaYoshan, they can be new or old. They can be animal, most of them can be animals that were born this year or animals that were born last year. Except for the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, She'en Boin, Elam HaChadosh Min HaOretz, those Dafka have to come from the new crop, and those Dafka have to come from Eretz Yisrael. So again, Rav Chuna, B'Shem Rabbi Yemiya, Di Rabbi Shmuel. So again, Rav Chuna says in the name of Rabbi Yemiya that must be specifically according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Eina Omer, Bamin HaSuria, because Rabbi Shmuel says that the Omer cannot be brought from Syria. Whereas there are other Tanoim who disagree with that and say that and say you could bring it from Syria. So that Mishnah in Menachos, wouldn't be according to them. So actually, there's Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda in Menachos over there says that grain from outside Eretz Yisrael is kosher for the Minchas Omer. The Shtei Lechem, he agrees. The pasuk says that it has to be Mimoch Veisechem from Eretz Yisrael. But the Omer, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda holds, could come from Chutz La'aretz and certainly from Syria. But Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Similarly, Tamon Tanenon, we learn in a Mishnah in Kalim, Eser Kedusha Sein, there were 10 levels of Kedusha in the world, and the first one of them is Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol Arat. This Eretz Yisrael is holier than all other lands. Umahi Kedushasa, in what sense is it holier than other lands? So one of them is Shemavin Menaha Oimu Rabbi Kodem Shtei Lachem, that the Omer and Bikurim and the Shtei Lechem can only be brought from Eretz Yisrael, Masha'en Mavin Ken Mikol Arat, which is not the case from other countries. So again, Rabbi Chiyo or Rabbi Chuna, B'Shem Rabbi Yemiya, Rabbi Shmuel. Again, that Mishnah must also be specifically according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Eina Omer Bamin Asuria. Rabbi Shmuel would say the Omer cannot be brought from Syria. So again, we have several Mishnayos and Braises that are like Rabbi Shmuel's Shitta and not like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's Shitta.
So according to Rabbi Shmuel, how would they do in a time of famine? And they had a lot of them.
So in a time of famine, they would have to find. They would still have to find. Even in a time of famine, some grain grows. There's just not very much. But again, the same way as we're saying that during Shemitah, they would have to find Sfichim. They'd have to find growths that are growing on their own and hire somebody to guard it. The same way during a year of famine, they'd have to do a similar. They'd have to do a similar thing.
Can't you say that the opinion of the Achamim is lechatchila, not b'di'eved?
The Gemara in Menachos over there talks about that this that we're saying that it has to be from Eretz Yisrael is only lechatchila, but b'di'eved. The Gemara there in Menachos discusses that. That whether it has to be from Chodosh, the Gemara brings an opinion over there that B'di'eved, you could bring it from old grain. So if necessary, in a year of famine, people do have some stored grain. So according to that opinion, you could bring it from that. And again, the Gemara doesn't mention about Lachatchila versus B'dieved, as far as them coming from Eretz Yisrael, you just have the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda that it's kosher from Chutz La'aretz, and Rabbi Shmuel who says that it's not. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, what you would do in that case is there are Tanoyim who would say that you could bring it in that case from old grain. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, fine, it has to be grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, but it can be from last year's stuff that was stored away. And according to the Tanoyim, who say that even not, so fine, they would say there would inevitably be Sfichim, and they would have to. And they would have to bring from that. The Medrash that mentions actually that in the times of Gidon, in the Psukim and Sefer Shoftim tell us that in the times of Gidon there was a terrible problem where the Midianim every year were invading Eretz Yisrael and taking as much of the crops and then stealing as much of the crops as possible, so that the people had very little, but nevertheless they still set aside from the little barley that they had for the Korban Omer, and that was the schus that eventually Hashem sent a Malach to tell Gidon that he should go and say and raise an army and defeat Midian. That he actually defeated them on Pesach. You have at the end of the Haggadah in Nusach Ashkenaz Haggadah, they have a bunch of songs at the end of the Haggadah. One of them is about different nisim in Jewish history that happened on Pesach. One of them is how Gidon defeated the Midianim, and the Medrash says over there, Rashi brings it on the Pasuk, that it was in the schus of the Korban Omer that they brought. So there you have an example where it wasn't a famine, it was an artificial famine, I guess you could say, because of the Midianim taking everything, but even so, the Jewish people made sure to have from the little bit that they have to reserve some for the Korban Omer. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Taman Tanenon, we have another Mishnah. We have another Mishnah in this regard. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ma Chorish Rishus Af Kotze Rishus. Now you have like this. The Pasuk tells us that you have to rest on Shabbos, and it says Bechorish of Akotzer Tishbos. You have to rest from plowing and from harvesting. Now, what does that mean? We know there are 39 malachos that are also on Shabbos. Those are only two of them. So why is it listing those two? So now you have opinions. The Gemara mentions in a couple of places in Shas an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that actually it has nothing to do with it. It actually teaches us a din regarding Shemitah, that there's a period before Shemitah already when you're also to plow and plant in preparation for the new year. It's called Tosfos Shvius. But Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. And he says, what we learn from it is, Ma Chorish Rishus Af Kotze Rishus. We learn from it like this. When the Pasuk is saying, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to plow and you're not allowed to plant, plowing is always something voluntary. There is never a time when there is a mitzvah to plow. Because even, for example, when it comes to bringing the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, there is a mitzvah to harvest grain specifically for that purpose. But there's no particular mitzvah to plow ground specifically for that purpose. If you find ground already plowed, then you're not accomplishing any mitzvah by plowing new ground for the Omer, as opposed to even if you find grain that was already harvested, there is a mitzvah to harvest it for the Omer. So he says the Pasuk is giving us a hekesh. Ma chodesh rishus af kotze rishus. Just like plowing is always voluntary, there's never a time when you have to plow if you already find a plowed field in order to be able to do the mitzvah of the Omer and the Shtei Lechem. Af kotzer rishus, the same way the harvesting that the Pasuk is telling us you can't do on Shabbos is also a rishus. Yotzek tzir ha'omer shul mitzvah. Therefore, it's excluding the harvesting of the Omer, which is a mitzvah, and that you can do on Shabbos. So the Gemara points out, Rabbi Shmuel Kedaite, Rabbi Shmuel then is going to his Svara that we just said, that the Omer cannot be brought from Surya. Those two things go together. Just like Rabbi Shmuel is saying that the Omer cannot be brought from Surya, it must be brought from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that means that. So, just like he's saying that the harvesting of the Omer is Doicha Shabbos, even though so you could argue why. I mean, why should he be Doicha Shabbos? We know that Esse is Doicha Loises. First of all, we know Esse is Doicha Loises, but Shabbos is an Esse as well. But besides that, also. why should we need to anyway, when we're able to accomplish the essay without violating a lois essay, we're supposed to do that. And here we could do that because we could take grain that was already previously harvested before Shabbos and use it to bring the Omer. The fact that Rabbi Shmuel says that you can't do that, the Ksiras HaOmer is Doicha Shabbos, from that we see therefore that he considers, so in the same way, he would say that the harvesting of it is overriding the dinim of Shemitah, and therefore that you would harvest it during Shemitah in the normal way, even though usually you're not allowed to harvest in the normal way during Shemitah, and therefore that would also require us to say that it fits with his opinion that you can't bring it from Syria. Otherwise, why are you being over on the Isser of harvesting in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, when instead you could just as well bring it from Syria and not be over on that? So we see therefore, the Mefarshim have different exact ways of explaining how the two things fit together. The Korban Eidah says basically what we just said, that just like he's saying that you override Shemitah to bring the Korban Omer, the same way we say you override Shabbos to harvest it on to harvest it on Shabbos. Another point is Rabbi Shlomo Cerulio says that it means that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that this that we said before, that it has to be brought from Eretz Yisrael, is not on the Lechatchila, it's even B'dieved, Eina Oimer Bami Surya, the same way, even when it comes to harvesting on Shabbos, we don't say Lechatchila B'dieved, Lechatchila, if you have other grain, use it, and only B'dieved, if you don't have grain that was harvested before Shabbos, do you do it on Shabbos? No, he would say Lechatchila, you harvest it on Shabbos. So a couple of different explanations how these two things tie together. But anyway, the Gemara is saying, therefore, that Rabbi Shmuel is consistent with his Svara. Okay, so now that we talked about that, Man Tana Shemesh Svichas Beshvias Noitin Tzchon Metrumas Alishka. So now, which Tana would it be that says that we hire people to watch the Svichim on Shvias, and we pay them from the Trumas Alishka, and that's what we bring the Omer from? So Rabbi Shmuel, that would be specifically according to Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, there'd be no reason for that. Just bring grain from Chutz La'aretz and use that for the Omer, because he holds that you're allowed to, or bring it from Syria. Amar Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef says, no, divrei hakoli. No, our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, because loy motzah b'Syria mevi'enoisem mesfichin shebeitz Yisrael. Because the fact is, what if they don't find grain in Syria? Then they do have to bring it from Sfichim in Eretz Yisrael. So even Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, who holds that you could bring it from Syria or from Chutz La'aretz, he would agree that lachatchila we should have people guarding the Sfichim in Eretz Yisrael in case we're not able to bring from Chutz La'aretz. In case we're not able to bring to find any from Syria or from Chutz La'aretz, then we want to be able to have that. We want to be able to have some in Eretz Yisrael. So even he might agree that you hire people to watch it. There is a point some of the Mefarshim make over here, that you can't, even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you can't bring it from Chutz La'aretz per se, because at least with the Omer, the grain has to be very, very fresh. And if you bring it from way out in Chutz La'aretz, it's going to be dry by the time it reaches Yerushalayim. So even if you're going to be bringing it from elsewhere, it has to be as close as possible to Yerushalayim. So Syria would meet that definition. Chutz La'aretz proper would not. But in any case, well, the reason is still, what if we don't find any grain in Syria that we could bring to Eretz Yisrael, that we could bring to Yerushalayim? Then we still need people to guard the Sfichim in Eretz Yisrael to make sure they have what to bring from. Okay. So the question now is, Hahein Omer Maushi Zora Betchila. Okay, so now we're saying that everybody agrees that you're allowed to use these Sfichim of Shvius for the Omer. You have in the Mishnah of Yossi saying that the Yochid could give it to the Tzibur. The Chacham say no, the Tzibur has to pay for it out of their funds, etc. But everybody is agreeing that you can use these Sfichim from Eretz Yisrael for the Omer. So now the question is, what if you don't have anything? What if you don't find any Sfichim? Or you're allowed to plant grain for that purpose during Shemitah. Now, normally you're not allowed to plant during Shemitah, Sod Chole Sizra. But in this case, are you allowed to? So the Gemara continues. Rav Chiya bar Abba boy kumi Rav Mana. Rav Chiya bar Abba wondered. He was a Talmud of Rav Mana, so he asks his Rebbe, Rav Mana, what's the question anyway? Of course you can't. If you plant grain during Shemitah, then you're not allowed to eat it. So according to many Rishonim, grain that was actually planted during Shemitah in violation of the rules of Shemitah is not allowed to be eaten. So Rav Chiya bar Ada wonders then, why are we even asking the question whether you could plant grain during Shemitah in order to use for the Omer and for the Shtei Alechem? Then it would come out, you're not allowed to eat them. And then it comes out, Lo nimtzik kometz al shirayim she'enen echolin. In effect, wouldn't it be like taking the kometz for shirayim of a mincha that cannot be eaten, where then the mincha, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you have, for example, a mincha where most of it became tomei, you can't take out the koimetz and burn it on the mizbeach because the rest of the mincha is tomei and the koinim aren't going to be able to eat it, and therefore the koimetz isn't going to accomplish anything. Well, the same thing over here. If the grain is also to eat, then how are you going to be able to bring the omer and the shtei lechem from it? So, of course, the answer should be that you can't plant. Why are we even asking? So there are opinions of Rishonim that you are actually allowed to eat it, that it wouldn't actually be also ba'achila. So they explain that what Rav Chiya bar Ada is saying is not really tied to the previous question about planting during Shemitah. That question, according to that explanation of Shlomo Sirilio and the Chazon Ish learns similarly, that the question is not. The Gemara had asked, can you plant grain during Shemitah for the Omer? And the Gemara just dropped the question and left it unresolved, according to that. Then Rav Chiya bar Ada is pointing out a new point. Given that we're saying that you're allowed to bring the Omer from Sfichim, now according to Rav Akiva, the Sfichim are also ba'achila, so then in that case, how are you able to bring the korban from them in the first place? Amalei, so Ramana answers, Nasa kachamisha dvorim shein boin betuma ve'ein necholin betuma. We treat the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, even according to that opinion, like we learned in a Mishnah in Psochim, there are five korbanos tzibur, which even if the people or the koyanim or whatever are tomei, we still bring those korbanos, they just can't be eaten betuma. We said the korban Pesach is a unique exception. You do eat it even if it was brought betuma, but most other korbanos tzibur, they may be brought. The korbanos tzibur that are being eaten, for example, the omer and the shtei lechem, they can be brought b'tumah because tumah dechoyer b'tzibur or tumah hutra b'tzibur. But nevertheless, the koyanim don't eat them. So the same way over here, we would say that yes, if the grain for the omer is not able to be eaten because of the issur of shvius, then we would say whether because it was planted during Shemitah, or according to Rabbi Akiva, that even Sfichim are also to eat during Shemitah, Midaraisa, whereas everybody else holds they're also only Midrabanan. So you still bring the Omer from them. You won't be able to eat the Omer, but fine, that's the same way as if it was brought Betumah, where you have the same issue. You bring the Omer and you don't eat it. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, Ketzad hu oise. How do we do when we're saying we pay these workers who are guarding the Sfichim? Now, the problem is that to take money of Hekdesh, we have to be Mechalal Mois of Hekdesh. When we have money of Hekdesh, to make it Chulin, it has to be made Chulin on a tangible object. Them watching this grain is not a tangible object. That's labor. You can't be Mechalal money of Hekdesh on labor. So Kate said, how do you do it? What Hekdesh would do is as follows. They would borrow money from a money changer. They would use that to pay the harvesters and the people who watched the grain. And they would do that even before the Omer was brought, because you have to pay, the din is, the Torah tells us, you have to pay workers right away. So they would do that even before the Omer was brought. Then they would bring money from the Truma Salishka, or Mechalal in Olav, and they would be Mechalal that money on the grain of the Omer. And that way, so now the money becomes Chulin, and the Omer becomes Hekdesh. So they're not actually paying the workers directly out of the Truma Salishka. They're using the money to buy the actual tangible grain, which is fine. And what they're doing is they're paying the workers out of this money that they borrowed from the money changers. And then afterwards, they're paying back the money changers with the money that was Truma Salishka and now became Chulin, and now they can give it to the money changers to pay back the loan. So the Gemara asks, Tovos Kain, is that the right way to do things? I mean, after all, you have with the Korban HaOmer, the Mishnah tells us in Menachos, they would harvest 3 saw of grain, and then they'd sift it and sift it again and sift it again until they had 1 omer, which is an omer is 1/10, is 1/10 of 3 saw that they would actually be makriv. And the rest of it, the rest of it, wouldn't go to waste. I mean, you could eat it, but it wouldn't be hektish. So how can we be mechal? The question is, how can we be mechal, money of hektish, on 3 saw of grain when we're not going to be using all 3 saw for the korban omer? We're only going to be using 1 isar and 1/10 of that for the omer. So, so like this, on the face of it, we're paying the workers for the fact that they watched 3 saw of grain. But in the end, we're not using that whole 3 saw. So how does that work? How is that a proper way of being mechal al hektish? So Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabba, kol ma sheyitin hein hein dam of mishar rishona. The answer is whatever you pay the workers, whatever you pay the people who garnered it, is considered to be the original, according to the original time. Meaning, in other words, what we do is. And the Tiklan Chazatin explains that what it means is we say that whatever we pay them, you're right, we're actually only paying them to begin with the amount the value of the part that's going to become the actual korban omer. You're right, we're not actually paying them for the value of the 9/10 of it, which has not become the korban omer. So therefore, there's no problem with that. And then and then some of the other mafoshim explain the other way around, that we say that whatever we pay them is considered the value of that 1/10. Yes, there is actually more that they watched, and we pay them for all of that, and we consider all of that money becomes in effect the value of that 1/10 of that isorin. And that becomes in other words, that one has a higher price. It has a higher price than others. Then there's a different explanation that some of the Rishonim have that what Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Acha and Rabbi Bar are saying is we don't need this whole rigmarole of borrowing money from the Shochanim and paying the workers and then paying them back after we're mechalal the Omer. They hold that no, you're able to be mechalal it on the work to begin with, because that's part of the tnai of when it was made hektish. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa. It is the same kind of thing as we're talking about how we pay the workers who are guarding and who are harvesting the Omer. The same thing as far as people who are working for the Bais HaMikdash, carving and decorating stones for the building of the Bais HaMikdash. Now, yeah, again, you have the same problem on the face of it, that you can't be mechalal money of hektish on labor. You have to be mechalal on a tangible thing. So Kate said, so how do you do it? Similar idea. We borrow money from a money changer. We give that money to the quarriers and to the ones who are shaping the stones and pay them that way. We do that even before the stone is placed on top of the row of stones in the building. Then after the stones are placed there on the row, then we take money from the Trumas Alishka, or from the Shori Alishka, actually there's a different girsa, and we pay them and we use that, we're mechalal that on the stone, because now the stone is a tangible object. We can be mechalal money of hektish on that, and then we take that money, which is now chulin, and give it to the money changers. There's actually an interesting point. Also, the Gemara points out in Me'ilah, Shmuel says over there in Me'ilah, that Beis Din does not want to buy the stones in advance and pay for them out of money from Hekdesh, because then there's the problem a person might accidentally lean on the stone or sit on it or something, and then they'd be committing Me'ilah. So we want the stones to stay chulin as late as possible until they're actually built into the building. Okay, so again, the question is, the Gemara says, V'tovos kein, is that the right way to do things? Don't you have the problem that some stones inevitably get ruined on the way? And then how can we mechalal money of hektish on all of these stones in advance, when some of them are going to, and we're borrowing money for that purpose in advance, when we don't know that all of them are going to make it into the finished building? And the same answer, Rabbi Yossi, B'Shem Rabbi Acha, Bei Rabbun, B'Shem Shmuel, Kol Ma Sheyitin, Heinein Damei, Mashar Rishona, the same answer as before. Whatever they give is the original value, meaning according to Tiklan Chadatin, that we're saying that we are actually, in fact, only paying them for the good ones. We figure out afterwards how much were the bad ones, the spoiled ones, and we deduct that from it. According to some of the other Mephoshim, we're saying the other way around, that we pay them the full value and we consider that to be the value of these stones. And then the third explanation is that he's saying that, again, that we don't need this whole elaborate thing involving the Shulchanim. We can just pay them directly out of the Trumas Alishka or out of the Shiori Alishka, because it's okay to be Mechal Hektish on work according to that opinion. Okay. Omid Beis, Halacha Beis, the Mishnah says, more listings of things that come from the Truma Salishka, Parah V'Sorda Meshtalayach, the Parah Adruma, the Sor La'azazel, the Loshen Shal Zahoris, and the strip of red wool. We're going to discuss soon whether that means. Now there's different strips of red wool that are used. There's one of them that's used when they burn the parah adruma. They throw in eitz eres and ezov and shnitelas, strip of red wool. So we're talking about that one. Or we're talking about the sor la'azazel had a red strip of wool attached to it, tied around its head when they took it to be thrown off the cliff la'azazel. So those things, boy, mitrumas alishka. So we're going to see in the Gemara which of those strips we're talking about. Boy, mitrumas alishka. All of those things are also brought from trumas alishka, because even though those are not korbanos per se, they're all essential things for the korbanos. For example, you can't bring korbanos if you don't have a parah aduma to make the people tahor, and the parah aduma itself is called chatos, and the same thing with these other ones. Therefore, they all come from trumas alishka. On the other hand, kevesh para. On the other hand, the ramp or the causeway that on which they would take out the para adruma. Now we know from the Mishnayos and para, or we know from many different places in Shas, that the Chachamim took extreme precautions when it comes to the para adruma, that there should be no tumah involved, because the parah aduma can be brought by a kohen that's tvoyoim. The tzedukim disagreed with that. So in the time of the second Beis Mikdash, they would davka make the kohen gadol who's doing the parah aduma tumah with a sheretz or something. Then they would tell him to tovel, so he's a tvoyoim. Then he would do the parah aduma. So the chachamim now are concerned. Now that you have that, people might get careless and think that there's no problem with other areas of tumah involving the parah aduma. So therefore, they made extraordinary precautions. And one of them was that they had this ramp. They had this double causeway running across from Yerushalayim to Har HaZeisim to make absolutely certain that there's no possibility of them becoming tumah on the way. The gist of it is, even in case there's a body buried in the ground underneath, they built the causeway. In such a way, they had one row of arches so that if there's any tumah under the arches, it'll be inside the arch and it won't go up. Then in case it's under the piers, under the legs of one of the arches, they built another set of arches on top of that, offset from the first ones. So again, with the same basic idea. So this way, in case there was truma under the legs of the bottom arch, then it would be under the center of the next arch up, and that way no truma is getting up either way. So now it's an important thing, but it's not so essential. It's only because of a chumra. So therefore, that can't come from truma salishka. Also, the kevesh sora meshalayach. Also, the ramp or the causeway that they would use for the sora lazazol. So the Mishnah tells us in Yoma, we'll learn it in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, that there would be people who would be grabbing a hold and yelling at the person who was taking the sor la'azazel, get it out of here as fast as possible, get rid of our avodas as fast as possible. So in order to protect him from them, they built this causeway for him to go on. So again, that's not such an essential thing for the avoda. The loshen shaben kaunav, also the strip of wool that was between the sor la'azazel's horns. So now we just said before, one possibility that the strip we're talking about over here is that we said came from Trumas Alishka is that one. One possibility is, in fact, there are two different strips. There's one that was tied between its horns when it was first designated in order to be able to tell it apart from the Sar Lashem, so we don't get them mixed up. Then there's a different one that they would have before Yom Kippur, would be tied to a rock over there, and then the guy would, and then that would be a simon, it would turn white, and it would show that the Jewish people's avedas are forgiven. So there might be two different strips of wool involved at the Sola Zazel. But the other possibility is the first strip of wool in our Mishnah is the one that they throw into the Pot Adruma fire. And the second one we're talking about over here is the one in connection with the Sola Zazel. Anyway, so those things. Also the Amasamayim, also the maintenance and the repair of the water channel in the Azara, or the Rambam says even in the whole Yerushalayim, and the repair of the walls of the city of Yerushalayim and the towers of it, and all the other necessities of the city, all of those, those come from the leftover money after what's left over after the truma was taken, or after all the three trumas were taken, is called shiori alishka, and they can use them for projects like that. Now, the reason why they can use them for things like the repairs of the walls of Yerushalayim and then things like that is because, after all, Yerushalayim is a place where you could eat kodshim kalim, and therefore, in a certain sense, that Yerushalayim should be well maintained, and that the cities should be clean and not have shiratzim in it, and so forth, is sort of a necessity of the Bais Mikdash, but not as much of a necessity as the korbanos itself. Therefore, it doesn't come from the truma salishka, only from the leftover money in the lishka. Abba Shol says, never mind, as far as the kevesh pora, that wasn't brought from public money at all. Kevesh pora koinim gdolim osim b'shalatzim. Abba Shol says the koinim gdolim themselves, before they were going to bring a pora aduma, they themselves would spend their own money to build that causeway for themselves to be able to walk across to the Har HaZeisim and do it. Okay. Next, the Mishnah continues. Moise shiore lishka maha yoisin bahin. What did they do with the leftover money in the shiore lishka? Meaning, let's say, for example, so they had shiore lishka. So they had the trumas alishka, which we said they used for the korbanos and all the other operating expenses of the Bais Mikdash. Then you had shiore alishka, which we said you use for things like repairing the walls of Yerushalayim and paying for the cleaning crew in Yerushalayim that would clean the streets every day, and so on and so forth. After that, if they have money left over with that, what do they do with that? Mahayoisin man. So the Mishnah says, Loikchen behen yenis shmonim uslosis. They would use that money to buy wine and oil and flour, and then sell them at a profit to people who need those for korbanos. Vaschar lahekdesh, and the profit would go to hekdesh. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says you would do with the moiser shiori lishka. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you can't do that. Ein mistakrin b'shel hekdesh. You're not allowed to earn money with hekdesh. Hekdesh is for a couple of reasons. One of them being because the price of things may go down, and then hekdesh is losing out. And another reason, which the Gemara Bavli brings in Ksubas, another reason is because ein anius b'makom ashiros. We shouldn't treat the Bais Mikdash like it's a place where we need to raise. We're desperate for money. We need to raise money using whatever methods we can. For example, by selling things at a profit. No, the Bais Mikdash is Hashem's house. Hashem owns all the gold and silver in the world. Therefore, we don't need to treat the Bais Mikdash like a business and be buying things and selling them at a profit. So Rabbi Akiva says you don't use the Moshe Shiori Lishka for that. Afloi Mishalamim. And by the way, Rabbi Akiva says the same thing. You don't do that with money of Aniyim either, to invest it and then give the profits to the Aniyim, because of the same problem, because the price of things might go down and then the Aniyim are going to lose out. Or the Gemara there in Ksuba says a different reason, because what if an Ani shows up and needs money right on the spot, and we don't have money to give him because it's all invested? Okay. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't use this money of Moshe Shiori Alishka to do that, to earn profits for the Bais Mikdash. So what do you do with it? So a couple of different opinions among Rishonim. The Meiri brings that Rabbi Akiva would say you treat it exactly the same as the Shiori Alishka. So therefore you use it towards the project, like repairing the walls of Yerushalayim. And if not, then you, and if you have some left over, then you just save it for next year. According to the Rambam says that you would use it to buy kites on Mizbeach. And the Tiferes Yisrael says that maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, you could buy wine and oil and whatever with it and resell it to people. Just Rabbi Akiva is saying you don't resell it at a profit. You resell it at the same price you got it. Okay. Next. The Mishnah continues. What did they do with the leftover of the truma? So they took out the 27 saw of coins throughout the year to pay for the korbanos and everything. What if they had money left in those baskets? What do they do with that? They would use those for golden plates to plate the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Shmuel says that Moser HaPeiros, the leftover of the Peiros, would go to Kayetz HaMizbeach. Now, what is Moser HaPeiros? We just said that according to Rabbi Shmuel, that Hektish is allowed to take extra money that they have and invest it in wine and flour and oil, and then resell it at a profit, and the profit goes to Hektish. So if you have money left over from that, then Rabbi Shmuel says you use that money, you use those profits for Kaitz HaMizbeach. Moisa Truma L'Klei Shoris. And as far as the Moisa Truma, if you have leftover money in the basket that they took the Truma Salishka with, then according to Rabbi Shmuel, you use it to buy Klei Shoris. You use it to buy Kalim for the Bais HaMikdash. That's a coin to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva omer moisa truma l'kayetz mizbeach moisa nesachim l'klei shoris. Rabbi Akiva says no. The leftover of the truma that's in the baskets goes not towards klei shoris but towards kayetz mizbeach moisa nesachim l'klei shoris. The other way around. If you have leftover of nesachim, and we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow what leftover of nesachim is, then that goes to kayetz mizbeach. That goes to klei shoris according to Rabbi Akiva. He says leftovers of the sochim go to kaitzim esbeach. Moisra truma leklei shoris, and what's left over in the baskets of the truma goes to klei shoris. Zevzeh loy ha'umodim aperis. Neither Rabbi Akiva nor Rabbi Chananya skana koyinim agree with Rabbi Shmuel as far as the peris, because according to them, you can't invest. The hektish can't invest and then try to turn a profit from it, like Rabbi Shmuel says. So therefore, according to them, there is no such thing as moisra peris.
The Kaitz HaMizbeach, what is it exactly?
That is korbanos that they would bring when there's no other korbanos being brought on the Mizbeach. So in order that the Mizbeach shouldn't be empty of korbanos, and in order that the Kohenim should have what to do, they would buy oilus from funds of the Tzibur and offer them on the Mizbeach. That's Kaitz HaMizbeach. The word Kaitz literally means summer fruit. It means like dessert fruit. The idea is, so to speak, like this is, so to speak, dessert for the Mizbeach after the main meal when there's nothing else to eat, then there would be this dessert available, so to speak.
Did that happen often?
We have no idea. We have no idea how often it happened. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kevesh part of a chula. We said that one of the things that's brought from the Truma Salishka is the red strip of wool. So the Gemara points out, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Meshem Rabbi Yonason, or Rabbi Nosson, Gimel Lashonis. And there are three different mitzvahs for which we have to have a strip of wool. And they have different weights. Shel Sorir B'Sela, the one that was used for the Sorir La'Zozel had to weigh a Sela because it had to be divided into two. The person who was going to throw the Sorir La'Zozel off the cliff, it says in the Mishnah and Yoma, would divide the strip of wool into two. One part would stay between the animal's horns and the other one he would tie to a rock over there. We'll learn in the Gemara in Yoma in a couple of months why he would do that. So therefore, it needs to weigh at least a Sela. So that way you have each piece, each of the two pieces weighs at least a shekel, because less than that, it's not really considered a strip. Shel Metzora B'Shekel. Then you have, the Torah tells us, the first stage of the Tara of a Metzora involves two birds and a strip of red wool and eights Eres and Ezov. So there, you need a strip that's only one shekel in size, because there's nothing particular you need to do with it other than that you need to dip it together with the rest of the mixture in the mixture of blood and water. So for that, one sela is enough. Shel Parash B'Shtei Sloyim. On the other hand, the one for the Parah Aduma has to weigh two Sloyim, because that one has to be thrown deep into the fire, so therefore it needs to have a certain weight to it. If it's too light, it's not going to fall into the fire effectively. Okay. Rabbi Chunya de Bras Chabron, Rabba Bar Zavda B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Chalafta, they say Shel Parash B'Shtei Sloyim Mechza. They say that no, the one of the Parah Aduma had to be even heavier than that, had to be 2.5 Sloyim. The Ist Mapkin Lishna Basara Zuz, or others express it that it wasn't to two, that they express it as 10 Zuz, which is equal to the same thing. There are 4 Zuz to a Sela, so 10 Zuz equals 2.5 Sela, but Chayav Adam Loyma Bloshin Rabbi, so there were other Chachamim who learned it in the Loshin 10 Zuz, and that's how they taught it to their Talmidim. Okay. We said in the Mishnah that we said Moshe Shiori Lishka. Although we said that there were various other things that they would pay out of the Truma Salishka. So now we're going to have some more things. Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel says Tamar Chachamim Lamdan as a Kohenim Hilchas Shchita Hilchas Kabbalah Hilchas Zurika. The Tamar Chachamim who teach the Kohenim the halachas of shechting and of receiving the blood and of throwing it on the mizbeach. They have to be paid because Schar Batala. Now you're not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah. But they are allowed schar batola, because during that time they could have been doing other work. So they're paid for that out of the Truma Salishka. Also, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Radifa b'shem Rabbi Imi mevakrim mumei kodshim. People who are checking for mumim in the kodshim noitan tzchorim trumas alishka. They would also get paid out of the trumas alishka because again, that's something essential for the Beis Hamikdash. So the hekdesh would pay them a fixed fee. That way, we don't want the individual owners of the animals to pay them, because then they might pay them more for an animal to say that the animal is tum, or more to say that it's a bal mum. So instead, hekdesh pays them a fixed fee for however many animals they're checking. Next, Rab Acha, Rab Tanchum, Bar Chiya, B'Shem Rab Simloi, Magiye Sefer HaZorah, the people who correct the Sefer of the Azorah, which is the Sefer Torah that was kept in the Azorah. The Kohen Gadol would read from it on Yom Kippur, the king would read from it by Hakel. So you have people who would have to correct it and fix any mistakes in it. So those also, Noitlin Tzchorim, Trumas Alishka, they would also get paid from the Trumas Alishka, because that Sefer Torah is something that's needed for the Avodah, and also they would correct other Sefer Torah based on it. So they'd be paid out of the Shrumas Alishka. Gidol bar Minyamin b'shem Rav Asi, Shneida yonig zelus noten schor mitzrumas alishka. It says in Ksubas, the Gemara brings over there in the last parak of Ksubas, that there were two dayonim of gzelos, or gzeirois, in Yerushalayim, that their specialty was judging cases of gzeiros, of gzeiros, about what to do if one person injures or damages or whatever somebody else's property, or if somebody steals from somebody else. So they would also be paid out of the trumas alishka. One reason given for that is because since you're not allowed to bring stolen korbanos on the mizbeach, then they're doing an essential thing for the avodah, because they're making sure that nothing stolen is brought to the azara. And Shmuel Amar Noshim Ogus Pareches Noitlin Tzchorim Metrumas Alishka. Shmuel says the women who weave the pareches are also paid out of the trumas alishka, because again, that's something necessary for the avodah. On the other hand, with that one, those machloikas, Rav Chuna Omer Metrumas Bedek Abayis. Rav Chuna says that no, that you pay out of the Bedek Abayis. The Bedek Abayis is the funds that go towards the repair and the maintenance of the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. So he says the Poreichas comes out of that rather than out of Trumas Alishka. So the Gemara says, Ma Polig, what's the underlying Machlokas? Shmuel Ovad Laka Korban. Shmuel treats the Kalim, really. Shmuel treats the Poreichas like clay shores. And we said in the Mishnah that clay shores come out of Trumas Alishka, because they can also come out of other funds, but they can come out of Trumas Alishka because they're essential for the Korbanos. Rav Chuna, Ovid Lo Kibinyan, whereas Rav Chuna says that the Poreichas are considered like part of the building of the Beis Mikdash, because after all, they're there in place of the, they're in place of the, in the first Beis Mikdash. You had a wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the second Beis Mikdash. Instead, they had two Poreichas in, so therefore he considers they're instead of walls, and therefore they're treated like the walls of the Beis Mikdash, and they're paid for out of Bedek HaBayis funds. The Gemara in Ksuba says over there that there might be a distinction between the Poreichas in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim versus the other Poreichas in that they had, the different gates of the Beis HaMikdash had Poreichas in front of them. Those might be considered like built like the building according to everybody. Whereas the one in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which after all is used in during the Avodah, you see the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood of certain Korbanos in front of it on Yom Kippur and the Psur and then the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur and so forth. So therefore, Shmuel would consider it like one of the clay shores. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.